podcast where two youth group leaders try to figure out how to do youth group better. My name is Chris Morphew. I'm an author, youth group leader, and school chaplain here in Sydney, Australia. And as always, joining me from Melbourne is author, speaker, youth leader, and best friend of the podcast, Tom French. How you doing, Tom?
I am very well. Thank you, Chris. And I've got my mate. He is my mate. I've got my son here. Jasper's joining us again. So he might say some baby noises throughout.
I feel like Jasper is the podcast son. I mean, in a more accurate way, he's your son. I don't want to claim full parenthood of him, but anyway, there you go. Speaking of podcasts, Tom, are we recording a podcast?
Apparently.
Is this actually working this time?
I think so.
Because if you're an avid listener to this podcast listeners, then you may have realized that there was no episode on Wednesday. And that's because we tried to record a podcast on Monday about four times with about three different podcasting platforms, and none of them worked. But here we are recording on Wednesday for an eventual release, assuming all goes better than it did on Monday.
I might get it up tonight if I'm really, you know.
Wow.
Really successful in my life.
After 44 episodes of this podcast, happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's the extent of airtime I'm giving that gag from now on. I still don't know how the back end works, and I still don't know how long it takes you to put it together. It probably depends on how many expletives either of us need to have bleeped out. But it's usually a few. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we do a podcast?
Yeah, let's do it.
I heard we have a sponsor, Tom. Is that true?
We have a sponsor who has paid us $0, but plenty of love and attention, and that is the Ridley College Children's and Youth Ministry Training Day, which is on in a week and a half. At time of recording. I should have talked about it earlier, but I forgot. It's a training day for anyone who is a leader in children's and youth ministry, whether you're brand new or you've been at it for 60 years, you can come along and get trained by some of the foremost children's and youth ministry experts in Australia, and me also. It's at in person at Ridley College, on Saturday the 16th of March, but you can also come online. There's an online option where you just pay $30 and you can get like as many people as you want around the screen. So you could like rent out a cinema and play it in the cinema and have like 400 people watching it for just $30. That's a great deal.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is the Ridley of Ridley College, is that Ridley Scott or is it a different Ridley?
No, it's Ridley Scott. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. He was a pioneer in filmmaking, and they thought we need pioneers not just in filmmaking but just in ministry in general, so let's name a college after him.
Oh, so he's not involved, it's just named after him.
I think he's like the Professor Emeritus of the college. Maybe the honorary professor, because he doesn't turn up. He just blesses
it. Or know about it. Cool. How do I mute on this one? Because I'm about to sneeze and I want to be professional. I don't want to draw attention to
Is there a button down the bottom that says mute? Oh, you found it. Okay. So anyway, while Chris sneezes, let me encourage you to come to the Ridley Training Day. You can find out all the information at ridley.edu.au. That's ridley.edu.au. And then there's probably another link in there somewhere, but I don't know what the address is. Just search for the Ridley Children's Youth Ministry Training Day, or I'll put the link in the show notes. Ah, they're so pleased with their sponsorship. If they paid us money, I'd do a proper ad read for them, but they didn't. So that's what you get.
Great.
Are you back, Chris?
False alarm, guys. I didn't actually sneeze. So, but it's good to know where the mute button is, just in case, for professionalism reasons.
Now,
we are nothing if not a professional podcasting outfit here, Tom.
We are known for the slickness of this operation.
Now, on Monday, Tom,
yeah,
when we failed to record a podcast, you said, oh, it's a shame we failed to record a podcast because I've got a story.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'll share
it. Is that a story that will come up seamlessly, or do you want me to do it in this?
Well, it's not going to be seamless now, is it?
Like I'm doing currently.
I think if I just talk about youth group, it'll come up.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, we do that regularly. So anyway, how was youth group on Friday, Tom?
Oh, Chris, it was great. We
stories? See, that's how you do it. Seamless.
Some great stories to tell you. Maybe I don't know. I got a story. Anyway, the point. What were we doing? Yep. So we had an event which we went to, which was like our offsite. It was a combined event with up to like 400 kids.
Oh, mini VKIC, right? Is that what mini it is?
Mini VKIC. Yep. So VCYC, Victorian Christian Youth Convention. They had a one night event, and we took a load of kids, like a bus load of kids, but we didn't have a bus, so they all just got made their own way there. I gave a few a lift, but mostly they found their way there. And and we all got together. There were some sausages. There was an indoor soccer court where people played soccer. Is it an indoor soccer court or field or pitch? I think it's...
As
you are the person to ask.
The podcast resident sports expert, I'm going to say indoor soccer field.
Okay. All right. I'm pretty sure outdoors it's a pitch.
But it's an indoor sausage court if the sausages were indoors.
The sausages were indoors, yeah. So we had indoor sausages and indoor soccer. And then we got everyone got together and there was like, you know, the normal game, upfront games. The upfront game actually was all about like a heads or tails game of looking at countries and then saying what country it was, like as a geography quiz, but everyone really got into it, so that was fun. And sang some songs, and then we had a Bible talk, and that was most of the night. But the thing that happened, which I thought was pretty fun, was during the Bible talk, it was a Bible talk which probably wouldn't have been out of place at a at maybe like a university kind of Christian union kind of thing. So it was quite thoughtful, and we kind of worked through the passage verse by verse. We were talking about the transfiguration, so we did get an illustration about how Jesus is like the Transformers because there's more than meets the eye. You know how he's like a man and he's God.
But not because he's a robot in disguise.
No, he's not a robot in disguise. No, but Optimus Prime is not the Messiah, but he is a truck who turns into Optimus Prime. Anyway,
Jesus is not a truck, but he is the Messiah, and that's how you tell him apart.
Yeah, but I mean, he could be a truck if he wanted to be. Like, that's the difference between him and Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime, I mean, he doesn't have much choice. He's got to be like a robot or a vehicle, but Jesus can be a human or a vehicle or whatever he wants.
I, for one, am glad that Jesus chose to be incarnated as a human to save the humans rather than as a truck to save the trucks.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the reasons why I've chosen to worship him as my Lord and Savior, that he did not come for the trucks.
Because the trucks already have Optimus Prime.
They do. I also don't know if trucks can sin, so they might not need need saving from their sins. Anyway, the point is, that was an illustration. And the talk...
Was that the illustration? It's very clear. Very good.
I think the preacher, he did a better job than I did just then. But the talk went longer, let's say, than most talks that you would probably get at youth group. And probably about two-thirds in, I think we'd probably be in like 25 minutes along or something. And it was all silence in the room. And then a kid yells out, "Can we go home yet?" And
Great.
the the guy who was preaching, he did a good job. He was like, yeah, not yet. And then he just kept going. But I was sitting there, I was wondering why no one really reacted, because I thought it was pretty funny. As someone who's been heckled while I preach, I feel like it's a funny thing to happen. And also, I was imagining that there's a youth pastor in the room just dying at that point, going, why did my youth just
why did I bring that kid?
So that was quite an enjoyable moment of the night for me. And then at the end, we sang some more songs, then everyone went home. And it was just a really kind of easy, fun night. And I was reminded, I think, because I've gone to like so many of these things, that I was like, oh yeah, this is, I know what this is like. And it didn't seem that exceptional to me. But for the youth who'd not been to many things like that, or some of them for any things like that, they're like, that was so good, that was amazing. They're like, really loved the atmosphere and the music and the talk and the games and everything. Like, everything was just really exciting for them. When we were chatting about it on the way home, they were just like, I asked them to give it a score out of 10, and it scored between 7 and 9 for the whole night. And the only thing, like, they wanted, I think, more sausages and more jokes in the talk, was that was their feedback. So I think for me, like, remembering that what I think of an event, not like it wasn't a bad event, it just was like, yeah, okay, I feel like I've done this before, because I've been doing it for the last 20 or so years, it doesn't really matter, because it's my experience is not the youth's experience. And they had a really fun time. They were challenged. The music was really great. The geography quiz engaged them. And they got to see a whole bunch of Christians. Oh, next, the other thing that happened, there was a testimony, like a young youth. She stood up and shared about how she became a Christian. And one of the people in my youth group, he turns to me and goes, we should do that at our youth group. And I was like, yeah, we should. That's a great idea. So,
good idea.
Yeah, now I've got to figure out how we fit in some testimonies, but I reckon we can do it. So there you go. That was my night.
So your youth did okay with a 40-minute talk?
They did. At one point, one of the youth kids in my youth group, he turns to me and he goes, at the end, can I play the drums? He'd seen the drums up on stage and thought that there might be an opportunity for him to go up and hit the drums. I thought there might be a thing that drummers say, hit the skins. I don't know. What do you? It doesn't matter.
Well, as the podcast resident drumming expert, it's definitely hit the skins. Can I get up there and hit the skins?
Yeah, but I told him no. I said, like, first I just was like, no. And then I was like, that felt a bit harsh. So I was like, thanks for asking, though. And that was the night. Yeah.
Great. When I am 3/3 into a youth group talk and I've gone for 20 to 25 minutes, I know I have accidentally blown way out. So that is interesting. That was the, I don't know, I'm always very, like, you know, and this is a conversation that people have in terms of ministry to adults, and, you know, like, where is the sweet spot between being engaging for your audience and being, like, thorough and biblical? And I don't think those two are mutually exclusive, but I think that it's a particular kind of philosophy that says, let's give him a 40-minute exegetical sermon, and it's not my philosophy. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing about, like, we couldn't get away with it at our youth group, but we can get away with it at these events. And so, like, at VCYC, the talks are often quite long. I don't know how much they aim for, but they're normally at least half an hour, and they're quite in depth, and they're really engaging for the young people. And my experience of KIC is that the talks can be a bit like
similar,
that.
Yeah.
But and you get away with it because it's a different context, I think.
Yeah, and it's like a bigger group, and it's like, oh, I guess this is what we're all doing.
Yeah. So yeah, we get just get carried along. In
Very good. Well, I hope the guy that called out and asked if you could go home was cut to the heart by the third of the talk and went home a believer if he wasn't already.
That's it was
because that's a great testimony for next year.
You remember that guy who yelled out? That was me. It was at the end where when he drew the whole thing together, and it certainly was its strongest right at the end, which I enjoyed. Mm. In other news, just very quickly, mm-hmm. The week before that we didn't get to record on, my youth group voted on a new hoodie design. So, 2025.
Does it have the name of your youth hoodie group this time?
It does. It has the name of the youth group. And on the front it says In the North Youth Group, and then it's got our resident ghost has featured on the front.
This is such a strange thing. Podcast listeners, I don't know which episode. It was an early one where we talked about the running gag of the resident ghost of the deceased youth. not in my youth group I'll say about
there's
that.
There's no youth who actually died, just to be clear. We've got a made-up youth who died. It sounds terrible when I tell it, but it really works when you're at youth group.
You had to be there, guys. Seriously, it's fine. You should get your own ghost. It's totally cool and normal.
Yeah. Anyway,
so the ghost is on the hoodie.
On the front. And then on the back, there it says INYG, which is our, the acronym. And then there's a lot of pictures which are all pretty much all in-jokes. It's like an in-joke hoodie, mm-hmm. If you're part of the youth group, you're like, man, I get all of those things. And if you're not, you're like, there's a lot of stuff going on in the back there. And maybe someone will explain it, and you'll be like, man, I want to be part of that. I'm going to go to that youth group. I don't know, but it looks really good, and that's the one that they all voted for. And
cool,
I am happy with it. So it's going to be fun.
So some youth group hoodies have like inscrutable pictures, and it's like, it's an anchor because there's this passage of scripture that says that like we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure, and it's like a segue. Whereas for yours, it's like, there's this fake girl at youth group who died.
Yeah.
And so isn't that cool? You know,
there's
only one ghost who's welcome at my youth group, Tom, and that's the Holy Ghost. So, I'm sorry to be
good on
strict
you
on my ghost policy, but that's just that.
Can I tell you on the back of the hoodie where there's all the in jokes? I only understood some of them, so I got them to explain it to me. And there were some things like there's like a
giant
ball.
Have you accidentally put like a rude joke on the back of your hoodie?
I don't think so.
Is there something that
they told me what they all
like
meant.
This feels like exactly what we could not do with my youth group.
I don't know.
Trolling through Urban Dictionary before I sent the thing to press.
It's mostly like just pictures. And so there's like a picture of a giant ball because we played the game with a giant ball. There's a picture of a Christmas tree because we celebrate Christmas. And there's a picture of a chair because we sit on chairs at youth group. There's a picture
of
a microwave.
These are some like really literal memes.
That's true. And then, so maybe not in jokes, they're just things that happen. And but then there's a picture of a microwave. I'm like, why is that there? And they're like, that's just a joke between me and this other girl. We like microwaves or something. I was like, fine.
Great,
all right.
Pop it
that's
on.
What you want. This is what won? Democracy in action. So
great. And I do think that stuff is great in terms of like building the culture of a youth group, you know, like that kind of that identity building stuff. I like the idea that you let them design the hoodie. That's excellent.
The one that came in,
and the fact that you're honoring the system as well.
the one that came in second place had a photo of me on the front, and it said Supreme Leader of Inner North Youth Group Tom French. And
I would wear that one. Can you make one of those for me?
Look, if you're willing to pay the money, you can get one. They priced it out at like
I guess I could make my own.
You can if you want.
Yeah.
You're welcome to.
I have a print locker account.
There you go. All right. Anyway,
and
that's.
Now I have verbal permission that I can use your likeness on a hoodie of my choice.
Everyone is welcome to, as long as it only uses that wording.
Okay.
Tell us about your youth group.
Great. Well, it was, I think, my fifth last youth group ever. And I say that not to, like, you know, specifically update everyone on the countdown, but to say every time I go now, I experience this weird dissonant thing of like, this is so great. And also I'm about to leave it. And I did look around again and was quite kind of overwhelmed at one point with like this amazing thing that God has built. And it certainly was him and not me, because I remember what it was like a couple of years ago when it was hanging by a thread. And now he's brought together this great crew of leaders. And there's this really like fun culture of like, it doesn't feel like a cliquey youth group. Like people have their friends, but everyone is kind of cool to hang with whoever, which is really great. And so this week, we did one of my personal favorite, very niche youth group games, How Many?
yes.
Where at first they bid, like they kind of go around and one-up each other on who thinks that they can split the most mini Oreos in half in 30 seconds or stack up the most blocks or whatever. And whoever bids the highest gets to do it. And if they can do it, they do it. The scoring system is loose and arbitrary and doesn't seem to bother them. They're not actually like winning anything at the end. But then after the first or second try, the slides say, how many redacted? And you don't know what you're bidding on. You are just bidding on how many times you think you can do or eat or drink or whatever, a mystery thing. And so it was run not by me for the first time. It was run by one of our other leaders. And it was bittersweet to hand off one of my favorite activities to somebody else. But it was good because it made me go, like, this kind of weird stuff can still go on even when I'm not there. And that went well. It was like very chaotic. And it reminded me that it is this weird needle that I thread with some of the activities that I run, that they are just like, they don't actually make that much sense when you stop and question them. and so somebody else trying to pick it up and run it. And they ask me questions like, how do you like, when do you cut off the bidding? How do you score this? I'm like, I don't know. It's all vibes. So go ahead. And there were a couple of times that I just yelled out from the corner of the room, going once, going twice, sold to that group just to move things along. But that was fun and good. And then our student minister, who's joined the youth group just this term, gave a talk on why we read the Bible, because we're doing a mini series in the back half of the term about why we do the things that we do. And then we had small groups, and then that was that. And also this week we're continuing to run our midweek Bible study catch-up thing that happens after school on one afternoon, and that is a very cool thing to see happening. Like, that's not the sort of thing I would have envisaged happening a few years ago, or at least not taken seriously as an option. But now we've got a solid half dozen kids showing up.
That's great.
On another afternoon to read the Bible and pray for each other. So cool things are happening. And my observation this week is really just that I am grateful that they're happening and grateful that they're not dependent on me. So
yeah,
there you go.
I think probably it speaks, like, the fact that you've got to this point, one way you can hand it off, but also that you're at us, you've got this youth group that's no longer hanging by a thread. It speaks humanly probably to the fact that you have been so committed for as long as you have been, like having your constant kind of attention to it over these many years. How long have you been doing the youth group?
I think it's like 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the fact that you've been there to like run it and keep it steady and pick up the slack when there hasn't been the space for it means that it can be doing this now. Like if you'd bailed after 3 years when things were probably not as solid, then you would have lost a lot of momentum and you wouldn't be at this place where you are now. And I think like one of the really strong things about youth ministry is just that you just keep turning up. Like the fact that you're willing to keep coming, keep doing things and believing that even just by turning up and being faithful, that there is fruit that comes out of that, and you can help a youth group get to a stronger place, even if it's not. I mean, you've got plenty of skills, so I'm not saying that, but you don't have it. But for people just turning up and not feeling like they have to be super dynamic and exciting, but just being there and loving the youth and holding things together.
Absolutely. Yeah. The most effective thing that I think I have done is keep praying and keep showing up. And I think the reason that the youth find it very hard to imagine it without me is just because I've always been there. Like I've been there long enough that everyone who's there, I've always been there. And so I feel in their minds like an essential part of it. And I'm not, but it is the showing up year in, like week in, week out, and then year in, year out that buys you that sort of connection. And there are a couple of other leaders that are, you know, a few years in now. And so that, like, they've got that relational capital. And there are a couple of others who are pretty new, but they're really like working on it. And so they're building it. And so I've got no doubt that it will continue to go well. And I think that some of the youth's like worst fears of like, oh, it's not going to be the same without you, and it's not going to be as good, and blah, blah. They can't imagine the thing that's not happening yet, but I can, like, I know the rest of the crew enough to know that, like, it's actually going to be fine, which is a really, like, excellent place to be. And I think the other thing, and this is the thing that I hope the other leaders kind of hold on to, is as much as possible, like, the pursuit of excellence in what we do. And that doesn't mean everything's got to be extravagant and expensive, but just that kind of, like, what could we do to just take this game, this activity, this thing? What would the slight tweak be that's like minimal effort, but like takes it to the next level? And I think it's that kind of, here's what set and forget looks like. What's the next level beyond that? That I think is the sweet spot where it doesn't burn you out, but it does keep things fresh and new and interesting. And so, yeah, that's a thing that I hope will continue to be part of the character of the group after I'm gone. And I think it will.
Yeah. I think that's a good question to ask, which I think I never ask. And I do it a little bit for myself, but I don't consciously think it. But to actually ask that as we plan things of, yeah, what's the thing we can do that will make this that bit better, that's not a lot of work, but we'll take it to the next level. That's a good, I don't think I did that succinctly, but I think it's a good question to be asking.
Well, I think it's like particularly like with games, right? And like particularly when the kids, the annual kids outreach program that I coordinate with a bunch of the local churches, like, you know, each year has a theme, whether that's like pirates or jungle or space or superheroes or whatever. And even as simple as it's Bull Rush, but the person who's in wears a funny shark hat. And then the first four people they tip become sharks and they're running around and they have some kind of shark power. You know, it's the same game. It's one trip to the costume shop or the wherever. And it just like elevates the game because it's not just Bull Rush. It's that funny shark game. And I think there are just, you know, when you get into that mindset of like, what's the little tweak? And then as you repeat activities, they kind of stack. And the thing that's the tweak that elevates it, you just like set and forget, and then you add another one and it kind of is on a kind of upward trajectory to becoming cooler and more interesting rather than a downward trajectory towards becoming a bit stale and a bit overdone. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm just not creative, you know, like I don't have ideas like that. But I think most of my ideas are pretty dumb, you know, like they don't even have to be that good. They just have to be, you know, a little bit different to the way that we did it last time. And quite often it makes and like disproportionately big difference.
Yeah. I got nothing to add. I love it.
Great. I think we've nearly done a podcast, Tom. Is there anything else? Oh, next week. What are we doing next week? I forgot about the second half of the show. not half. Don't worry. It's not going to be an hour. What are you doing next week, Tom?
We are finishing our series on sharing cheese with your friends. And so we're going to do our last video, which I have yet to film. So that's weighing heavily on my mind, but that will be watched. And then we're going to spend some time chatting. Oh, we're going to eat dinner together, and dinner's going is make your own toasty night or jaffle night.
Yeah,
whatever you call it. So everyone's got to bring their own filling, and then we're sharing the fillings around.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so
like a sandwich potluck.
Sandwich potluck. Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, this is such a great example of the thing. You could just do toasties. How do you do something that actually makes it less effort, but like makes it interesting and fun?
Yeah.
Everyone brings something to put in a sandwich, and then suddenly it's way more fun and interesting. And
yes,
you have all those weird moments where people are like, this is gross, I'm going to put it all together. And there's that one kid that eats the sandwich and then lies on the ground feeling sick. That's great.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. It originally, the idea didn't come from me. It was from, I think, the pastor at my church who used to run it. She came up with the idea and then it just kind of disappeared, and I forgot that it existed until I saw a toasty maker in the cupboard at youth group. I was like, oh yeah, that used to be a thing. Let's do it. So I brought it back. So we're going to see what happens. I might contact her and ask for some tips on how to make sure it works. Then we're going to watch the video, and then we were going to have small groups, but I think actually we're going to spend some time talking about how do we put these things we've talked about for the last 4 weeks into practice. And particularly, you just
dropped my microphone. But I didn't sneeze in the podcast,
no.
So I feel like we've done all right.
Particularly, I want to
carry on.
I want to think about like what are the things we can put in place at youth group, to be helping it be a place that we can share juice with our friends. I think I want to ask the question, like, what is one thing that we can do? So maybe it's kind of like the question you were asking. And I want to try and instigate the vibe team, which I think I've chatted about recently in the podcast, but I want to like find the youth who are keen to say, we will be in charge of the vibe of this youth group, particularly the vibe of, you know, making sure everyone feels welcomed and loved at the youth group, but also just so they can be like, we will be in charge of like what we eat or, you know, how to make this place look kind of fun and whatever they want to do to make it better, giving them a bit of ownership, but not ownership for ownership's sake, but ownership because it actually will make it better and will make it a place where they are in charge of making the youth group their space where they welcome their friends and help them to love Jesus better.
Great.
Yeah. What are you doing, Chris?
Excellent. We are doing ball games, which was another one where I put it on the flyer and we figure it out later. I think it's going to be volleyball and survival tag with balls or something. I don't know. I can't remember. It's not my responsibility. But some kind of ball games. We'll report back next week. And then we are doing another one of our why do we do blank, and I think it's why do we pray, and it's a talk that I'm not doing. Don't worry, I don't need to know what it is about. So looking forward to it. Fourth last one, should be a fun night. It's like one of those pretty like low-key activities, but for our active friends it's always worth chucking a ball games night in there because we do a lot of standing around engaging in weird auctions and things at my youth group. And so to have some traditional ball games does not go astray.
Sounds like Jasper agrees. Jasper's ready for the podcast to end. Should we play some music?
Okay. Can I have one more sponsorship on the way out the door?
Sure.
This podcast is sponsored by me and the Big Questions Complete Collection 6 books boxed set, which is releasing globally in April. But if you pre-order it, you get 25% off a box set that is already a discount on buying the books individually. So if you go to thegoodbook.co.uk or thegoodbook.com or thegoodbook.com.au, depending on your region, you can sign up for an account and then you get 25% off all pre-orders and then you can pre-order. And if you want to know what it looks like in situ lying down on your couch, they have some great photos to show you what it looks like and then what it looks like on a couch and then what it looks like standing up next to a plant on a shelf. So you can live your minimalist dreams with my attractive slipcase somewhere in your chic Scandinavian home. And also you can read them if you want.
I love it.
Anyway, that's all.
It looks really good, that book box set. I'm not going to get it because I've already
got it. Yeah, it only has one typo on the slipcase, so that's good.
That's excellence right there. Should we join some music?
I should email them and tell them that for the second edition if there is one. Yeah, let's have some music. I think it's time to finish. Thank you for listening to Chris and Tom's Youth Group Podcast. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at chrisandtomsyouthgrouppodcast@gmail.com with a question, a comment, a creative insult, whatever you like. If you want to find out more about Tom, head to tomfrench.com.au to find out about his books, how you can book him as a speaker, all of the things. I think that's everything I have to say.
Yeah. Go to chrismoffy.com.
Nailed it again.